Lord, we praise you this evening. We rejoice in you, your goodness, your power, and your majesty. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to give you your worship. Dwell in our midst and be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading now is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. We're in Philippians chapter 2, particularly because of verses 9 and 10. For this reason, God also exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Our next psalm, Psalm 135, the B selection. In Psalm 135b, we call out to one another, praise the Lord. And we have this idea again, praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O servants of the Lord. We'll see that how holding up God's name in truth and in sincerity plays out in our worship. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. Let's stand and sing together, Psalm 135b.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, sing praise of servants of the Lord. You that in the Lord's house serve, in God's courtyard standing guard.
You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Our God, help us to turn our hearts to you tonight, to see how great you really are and what a great name you shine forth in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is King of heaven and earth, who has loved us and blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Lord, help us to set our hearts on joy and on peace and on strength in your Son and in the joy that we have in your Holy Spirit. Lord, please bless the service that we are giving to you tonight. May we set our hearts on you and our minds on you to hear your word, to understand it as a light that would drive us to you and as a light by which we will walk in this world, honoring you and honoring your name. Our God, we lift up those who have lost loved ones recently. We ask for your care and for your blessing. There's a number of us tonight have a bit of sickness and we have some coughs. Please bless us and comfort us and help us to center our hearts and our minds on you and on your word, that you would be glorified. Lord, as we look forward to the week to come, please help us to walk in truth and to walk in you, to think of the ways to glorify you the most. Help those of us who are struggling with anxiety and with fear. Help us who are struggling with sorrow and disappointment. Lord, and please bless us that we will walk in your joy, that we will walk in your peace. Please help us in our sicknesses. Give us comfort and drive us to you, that we will find joy and peace and comfort. Lord, for those of us who are struggling with fellowship and Christian fellowship in the circles where we work and where we live or where we go to school, please help us and please bring Christians into our lives, that we will have good and sweet fellowship and that you would be glorified in our good and sweet fellowship. Lord, for those of us that might be struggling financially, help us and give us wisdom to know the best ways to spend our time and the best ways to spend our money, that you will be glorified in that. Please bless us. Please give us our daily needs. Give us comfort and peace in those things, and may we look to you and acknowledge you as the giver of all good things. Thank you for providing for us exactly what we need. Help us to do all things without grumbling and without complaining, as we would be confident in you, in your goodness, and in your mercy. Please help our loved ones who are not calling on you. Please convict them of sin and of righteousness and of salvation. Give us reason to rejoice in those people and in their love for you and in their faith in you. Help us and make us faithful in announcing your gospel, your goodness, your holiness, your judgment, and the peace and the mercy that's found in Christ Jesus. We thank you for so great a salvation. Please continue to bless our worship tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 20b. We continue looking at the name of the Lord from the New American Standard. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. We come back to the idea when Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But he also says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. We understand that in a way God rescues us out of the trouble, even in this world, by setting our feet on a firm place. That is on Christ Jesus, where we're able to rely on him, where we are able to trust in him. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. We can think in terms of the ways that God answers us and helps us as we live in the midst of the church. Send help. Answer us. And then we make this statement of confidence in verse 5. We will sing for joy over your victory. That's us speaking to one another. That you will be victorious, and we will sing for joy in the great salvation and the blessings that you have. And we'll sing for this victory in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. We say to one another, may the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. In the verse 7, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. That's where our confidence is. It's in Christ. Jehovah, Yahweh, he does save. He does rescue. This is our confidence and our joy. Let's stand together and sing Psalm 20b.
The Lord in your distress attend, let cheer.
seated.
The sermon tonight comes from Exodus chapter 20. As we continue on in the Ten Commandments, we come to the third commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Pray with me. God, help us now to look at your word and to see it in the light of your glory, to see it in the light of your majesty. Please help us as your subjects, as your servants, to understand you and to understand your will for us as we see what it means to take your name in vain, as we see what it means to hold your name in high esteem and in honor, and to walk in accordance with your love, in accordance with your truth, in accordance with true life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to this commandment, and it's a bit of a difficulty to come and say, here is a commandment, now, me, as an under-shepherd, under Christ, I am going to show you all of the ways that you blow it. It's exactly what we want to hear, right? It's what a child wants to hear from a father. Here are the ways you've blown it. Now, it's a struggle for all of us not to take that posture in dealing with people who are under our authority. But we come to this, and there's something about this passage that has taken on a new life for me. We can come and we can see what we're not to do, or we can come and look and see the things that we are to do. A positive instruction from a negative command. Ways in which that we can exalt the Lord's name, that we can rejoice in it, to see the power and the authority in it, and to express the power and the authority in it for the good of others, that they also would love him, that they would also glorify him, that they would also trust in him, that they would also worship him. As we come to this text and we look, there's something strange in the translation. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, all of us have the idea, and this isn't a wrong idea, but it's a bit of a twist. That means you shall not use God's name as a curse word. Is the way that people generally think of it. But if we come to a more natural reading of the idea, is there any other name that you take? I remember after having met Leslie and we had spent some time together before we were married, she started practicing writing, not Leslie Wright, which was her maiden name, but she started writing Leslie Ramsey. I imagine many of the women here who have been married, they took that time, even before that they were married. They started writing out their new name in anticipation of taking a name to be theirs. Is there a sense in which you take God's name in order to be yours? Is there a change in yourself? Is there a change in your identity when you have taken on a new name? Other ways that you could translate that word take, the word is nasa, it's to lift or to lift up or to carry. The taking of it is in the sense of as if you were taking it up, to take it with you. In what ways do you lift up the Lord's name? In what ways are we in danger of lifting up the Lord's name vainly? Think of vain as in empty. The word itself could even bring the idea of deceit. Do you lift up the Lord's name or bear the Lord's name deceitfully? In an empty way or in falsehood? Can we see ways in which we're in danger of bearing the Lord's name in an empty way? without power, without it changing us, without it actually being our identity that we walk through the world with. Now, we could go through all the nuances and all the ways, and we could explore the shorter catechism and the larger catechism, and we could look at the ideas, and it talks about using any of God's names, his attributes, or his word, or anything by which he makes himself known in an empty way. Now, we can do that, and that's true, but I think we're much more in danger of carrying his name as Christians in an empty way than we are in breaking the commandment in any of those ways. It feels like straining at a gnat in those ways and swallowing a camel, as Jesus put it. We would be careful not to do any of these little other things, but we could miss the big burden, the big light shining on us, and the great opportunity that we have to bear God's name. So the call for you tonight is to carry his name faithfully. Our first step is a recognition and understanding that God's names are salvation or judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that we would look at him and call him judgment, or that we would necessarily look at him and call him by the name salvation. Another way to understand it is God's names express salvation, or God's names express judgment. This is why we hold his name so close to us and we're very careful with his name. The name Jesus, Yeshua, means Yahweh saves, or Jehovah saves. So this idea of salvation being placed on us, or salvation being given to us, we recognize that there's no other name under heaven by which man must call in order to be saved. So we recognize this as a fork in the road as we would be walking along. People walk through this world and we come to a place where we make a decision. Yes, Jesus, or no, I will not receive Jesus. This fork in the road is salvation or it's judgment. It's rescue and it's eternal life, or it is eternal damnation in the fires of hell. Now, the world looks and begins to make fun of the name Jesus. It will mock the name Jesus. It will hold Jesus' name in low esteem and use his name as a curse word. They are mocking and they're making fun of this fork in the road that is life eternal or death eternal. We see his name and we understand it in this light. This is why in Psalm 54:1 we say, "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your power." It's our understanding of Christ's name being salvation. In Acts 4:10 through 12, "Let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." We can come to this place in our own lives where people would take Christ's name and we could say, "Wait, there is no other name, and I stand before you as a person saved by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It is the reality. Romans 10:13, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." And we see the other side of it in Acts 17:31. "Because he," that is God, "has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, furnishing proof to all men by raising him from the dead." So we look and we understand his name as salvation. We see God's character, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, and we see his justice, which is judgment, and we see his grace, where his judgment has been poured out on Christ Jesus. So we see his name and we honor it. We speak his name with a reverence because it is by that name we have been loved and we have been saved. So we move then as we live in our salvation to our second step, which is wear Christ's name in honor. This is another positive step as we examine a negative commandment. Micah 4:5 says this, Though all the peoples walk, each in the name of his God. As for us, we will walk in the name of the Lord, that is Jehovah or Yahweh. We will walk in the name of Jehovah, our God, forever and ever. What's it mean then to walk in a name? To walk in an identity. To walk in the expression of God's character. Does that sound like something that would set you apart? Philippians chapter 2 spoke in these ways. As you live in a wicked and perverse generation, as you walk, you will shine. We have taken this name upon us, and we have the opportunity to shine. Now, a negative example is from Romans 2, 23 and 24. You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. That's a heavy charge. God's name being blasphemed, being used, torn up, mocked, thought small of because of you. My interactions with an unbeliever this past week, I asked him the question, why do you do good? He said his religion, although he says he's not a religious man, is doing good, being good to others. And so I asked the question, well, why? Why do you do good? His answer was, well, I was raised with a general morality, and it feels better to do good. Then he threw the question back at me, why do you do good? And my answer was, first, most of the time, the same reason you do it. I was raised and I had a trained conscience and do have a trained conscience. So I'm going to try to do good because I've been taught to. But when all of that is washed away, when it gets down to the place where I don't expect it to feel good, when I do the right thing, if I think it's going to be better for me and feel better for me if I'm selfish rather than thinking of other people, when it comes down to that, I will make the decision to do what God says is good for the glory of his name. That I won't make his name be blasphemed. Because as a Christian, as a pastor, when I fall, people would see it. And that would say something to everyone about the name of Christ. For you also, as you have taken the name Christian, as you bear his name, as you carry that name, there is a weight to that. You have the opportunity either to carry that name in honor every day with everyone you interact with, or the name of your Lord will be blasphemed because of you. Now we see bearing the name of God. Here's a place where we see it coming forth with a particular power. This is our third step. Face your conflicts in Jesus' name. Many of us are familiar with the account of David and Goliath. Many of us have rejoiced in the account. Many of us love the picture of young, handsome David, small, walking out there to face the giant, and we enjoy the trash talk that began to take place between the giant bellowing down on David and David calling back to him with a righteous and defiant voice as he stands there. Well, part of that in 1 Samuel 17:45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." we look and we see that there is a place to stand in Jesus' name in our conflicts. That when we hold to the truth, that Jesus is truth, Jesus is that expression of reality, Jesus is that strength that overcomes the power of death, as God does rescue his anointed, as we just sang. God moves in, he acts, he saves, he rescues. Now, in what settings will you come to conflict in Jesus' name? First and foremost, I'm going to invite you to deal with the conflicts in your heart. In Jesus' name. That when the light of God's gospel and the light of his command shines into your heart and you find the pollution in your heart, you come to that battle in Jesus' name. That Jesus loved me. He gave himself up for me. In the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. We look to that rescue and we look to that answer and we look and we see that in Christ Jesus, the reality is your heart can be beaten. Your heart can be overcome. The pollution of your heart can be burned away in degrees throughout the course of your life to where you move from being selfish and you move to loving Christ Jesus more and loving others more. We look and we see that this can be overcome because of Christ Jesus. So we do not live in an emptiness within our own hearts, but we come and there's a power, there's a kingdom, there's authority in his name by which we overcome our sin. And this is a way in which we do not live in an empty way or bear his name in emptiness, but in power, in love, in self-control, we overcome in Christ's name. Now, another way that we look at the way in which we live in Jesus' name and hold it up. Think, and when do you lift up the Lord's name? Think, when do you lift it up? We can rightly think of our worship. When we come into worship and we sing about him, we lift up his name. What would it mean then for us to lift up his name in emptiness, in worship? Is there a danger of taking his name in vain? Well, this is our fourth step, which is worship in Jesus' name. Matthew 15, 8 through 9. Here's the negative example. This people honors me with their lips. Now, we do that when we sing the Psalms. We're singing the words of Christ in the assembly of Christ. This people honors me with their lips. Now here's the danger. But their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me. Is that a danger for us? It is. It's a danger for all of us. There's a place where we can stand. And I've found that I can even stand before you and be reading the scripture and I can be running through my sermon at the same time. My mind can be in multiple places. I can be going through the motions. I know that we can do that in the assembly, in our worship. You can be singing the words of Christ in the assembly. As the body of Christ, you can have the words that Jesus Christ spoke by his Spirit to the prophet David, 1000 B.C., that have been preserved up to this moment for the washing of the saints. And you can have the body of Christ singing and announcing eternal truth on you for your eternal good. And we can run through a grocery list at the same time. And maybe even be sinning in our hearts at the same time. We have opportunity to bear the Lord's name, to wear the Lord's name, to recognize his authority, his power, his glory in the midst of the assembly, and to bear his name with love and joy and strength and confidence, and to be being changed from the inside out. As we lift up his name and bear it in truth and in power in the midst of the assembly. There's this danger. Here's another place that it's expressed in James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. In what ways do we worship? Think in John chapter 4, the woman from Samaria. What kind of worship were we talking about that was to take place then? Jesus said, the Father is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. We have the opportunity then to worship in Christ Jesus. Our fifth step is to wear Christ's name courageously. Luke 9:26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Where is this place in which we could be ashamed of the name of Christ and ashamed of him? Now, think in terms of this name that you are taking on yourself, and in what ways you do that. Another example is when we would go to the seminary support dinners. And when we came to the seminary support dinners, they have name tags laid out. And you walk along and you look for your name tag and you take that and you place it on yourself. As a joke from my dad when I was a kid and I was in high school, you had to, in Spanish class, you had to take a Spanish name. And so my Spanish name, for no good reason, was Alfredo. And my dad thought that was hilarious. So my dad started calling me Alfredo all the time. So I gave him the Spanish name Julio. And I started calling him Julio all the time. And then when my dad was advertising, he was selling a car in this little merchantette. Somebody called our house and just had the number and said, hey, I'm calling about the car that you have in a merchantette. I said, hold on. And I shouted, hey, Julio! The man heard me shout and call my dad Julio. And they made an arrangement. And the guy comes out and he's looking for my house to buy the car. And he stops because he can't find it. He stops at a neighbor's house and says, hey, I'm looking for Julio's house. The man responds, there ain't no Julio that lives out here, man. So at the seminary support dinner, when I got to turn in the names for the name tag so the people are coming to my table, I took great delight in giving Kim back and so the name Julio Ramsey. When my father comes along and he's looking at the name tags, he says, oh no. Because the only name tag that was available for him was Julio Ramsey. And the RPs were all far too polite to question it, and my dad got to be known as Julio for the evening. Well, we take a name on ourselves, don't we, as Christian. People are going to look at you, and it means something, that you don't take the name of the Lord's name in vain, maybe. That you really are interested in people. That you have a joy about you and a confidence about you that actually represent the kingdom of God, as we looked at this morning. A joy, confidence, peace in the Holy Spirit. Now that's going to be questioned. People are, to a degree, are going to want to know why you have joy, why you have peace, why you have confidence. And this is where it's going to move to the place where it takes a courage for you to announce the name of God. To announce the name of Christ Jesus. Because people can handle you being nice. It's going to come to something different when you say, I do what I do because Jesus is my King. He laid his life down for me and he has rescued me. That changes who I am and what I do. That's where the courage comes in to play. Without that, can you see how you would bear his name in an empty way? maybe even in a false way. If you're not declaring the name of Christ, remembering that we have been saved for this very purpose, that we will proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Acts 4:10 through 12 again. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, there's that faithful gospel announcement, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. By this name, I have been saved. In this name, I have life. In this name, I have life abundantly. In this name, I have life eternal. See, the danger and the threat is we would pretend to have the name, but without the power. Without the confidence, without the affection towards Him, or the affection towards the church, or the affection to our fellow man. That we would miss the power and that we would miss the authority. Now, when Peter preached in this name, and he said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And then this reality was perceived in Acts 4:13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Their identity was established by their confidence in Christ. Their confidence in the gospel, their confidence in the majesty of God. So, as far as I can tell, here we've been pulling off not using Jesus' name as a curse word. Great. Keep it up. But let's look at how we can bear His name, how we can take it up, how we can wear it as our identity and do it faithfully. As we can demonstrate His power and His love and His authority in our lives. And that's exactly what it looks like to glorify Him, to demonstrate His power and His love and His authority. And you have this opportunity every day. With your closest neighbor, and on, and on, and on. You who are in Christ, you shall not bear His name in vain. Pray with me. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. The name by which we have been saved. The name that is on the banner of our heart. We thank You, God, that You save through Jesus Christ. And that the life that we now live, we live by faith in Your Son. God, bless us as Your people to raise this banner high. To rejoice in You, to acknowledge You, and to live for You in this world. That we will not be guilty of bearing Your name in emptiness or deceit, but that we will bear it with power and with love and with self-control, pointing to You for Your glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.